Second hour, Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rexro, 102.5 The Game. I am Joe Rexrode. Robbie under the weather today. Paul Kaharsky is on his way. He should be here soon enough. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And if you'd like to join the conversation, hit us up on the game phone or text line, 615-737-1025. Driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. Kaharsky's saying, you know, hold on to the past conversation. Well, look, man, I mean, people are, you know, here's a great contrast here. We have Richard on the YouTube chat talking about the Mike Giardi. Again, for those who didn't hear, which computer did I have it up on? I don't know.
That's a good question.
Let's try the left one. Okay, the left computer, the old one that I need to, like, treat like that copier in office space. So again, this is the quote, is quote, I was told there's been some conversation league-wide that Tennessee might be unwilling to make deals
with
the New England Patriots with New England because the owner, Amy Adams Strong, continues to think too much about how things end with Vrabel and is not inclined to help his new team, end quote. Again, yeah, I was told there's been some conversation league-wide. So I was told that there's people around the league saying, gosh, I wonder if Amy Adams Strunk just hates Vrabel. I mean, that may be it. You know, I speculated that. And so on the text line, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHand.com, Robert says, Joe works for the Titans. She's absolutely the type of owner to do something like this. Again, Robert, I didn't say she isn't. I didn't say she wouldn't. I don't work for the Titans. I mean, I know we definitely cover for the Titans a lot on this show. We certainly make a lot of excuses for them on this show. You finger on the pulse there. But, no, I'm not saying that. I also read the wording of that, and I'm like, okay, so is this just like...
It leaves it open, for sure.
It sounds, yeah, a little bit like you're gossiping around the sewing circle. I mean, like,
with the Patriots is like, yeah, I wonder if they've been a little hesitant to reach out to us and trade with us or something
but
like
again,
that.
Well, but if anybody in the Patriots is going to utter something like this, they better have reached out themselves, right? Like, if you're going to utter something like that, you better have been rebuffed by them and wonder why.
Yeah.
Now, Richard on the YouTube chat says, this sounds like built-in covering for Vrabel from the New England media. Okay. So everything's got to be, it's got to be a conspiracy. Someone's got to be in bed with somebody. It can never just be like, you know, someone doing their job or anything like that. It's got to be some, I mean, covering for Vrabel? You didn't get Tony Pollard, you son of a, you're only 7-2 and you couldn't get us Arden Key? How dare you, Vrabel? I'm sure people are just up in arms up there at Vrabel right now. I mean, come on. I think neither of these things. I mean, look, I'm interested to hear what Kaharsky says about it, so I guess I can hold on. Until
he's tweeting about it.
Okay, so he just sent it. Did he just send this?
Yeah, I think he just sent you a link to his tweet. It says, the Titans did not pass on any attractive offers from the Patriots in favor of something else. Amy Adams Strunk deserves to be blasted for plenty. We don't need to add stuff that did not unfold.
That's basically kind of how I read it earlier. Apparently, Paul also works for the Titans now. So, again, Amy Adams Strunk deserves all kinds of criticism. We spent like an hour yesterday, and it wasn't even like a topic that was supposed to be about her, right? I mean, like, Robbie came up with the topic of, you know, just Titan fans. Basically, how you doing? How you feeling? And it turned into basically an hour
of
ripping.
Of grievances.
Yeah, exactly. A very Festivus, Amy Adams Strunk rip fest. So, fine. I mean, it's totally fair. Like Paul said, this thing just, you know, again, I respect Mike Giardi. I mean, he's done this for a long time. And, I mean, the wording is, like, the wording tells you. I mean, he's not saying he's reporting this, but it also is one of those things where it's like, did that need to be? If there's really nothing to it, if there's no report here, did that need to even be, you know, thrown out there?
Just twist the knife a little.
It's a little bit of red meat.
A little petty. You know?
So, look, you can believe what you want to believe, but it seems a little flimsy, right? Craig says, if that's the case and Amy's willing to sabotage her team for the sake of being petty, she can stay her clueless ass in Houston and let someone else run the team. Right. Well, she is in Houston, and she is, I think, letting other people run the team. This would be the worst kind of meddling, right? To delegate, stay out of the public eye, not even put your name on press releases, but then also saying, by the way, you can't deal with Vrabel. It's just hard for me to buy because, again, what you're doing there potentially is hurting your own team. And also, I think you would look worse. If this were true and there were a report about this and there was something more than this sort of like, there's some league-wide talk that maybe, who knows? Like, if there was actually a report on this, you know how bad? Like, you would look way worse. It would be a huge win for Vrabel over you. Mm-hmm. Another huge win for Vrabel over you.
Even
on top
more.
Of him, you know, possibly being NFL Coach of the Year with the Patriots this year.
Just cementing where you are as far as your perception in the league and all that kind of stuff. For sure. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. So,
hopefully it's, hopefully it's not true. And then this way we can just, you know, move on to how they're going to field the rest of the team this year.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get Kaharski's, you know, thoughts on it, but I think he's made it pretty clear with that tweet. Meanwhile, the Titans didn't do a ton. Draymond Jones for that. Now that is that, you know, I think
got the conditions on that.
Two sacks. Is it two sacks in the playoffs?
Correct. Two sacks for Draymond Jones, and the Ravens have to make the playoffs, and it moves from a fifth to a fourth.
That's a pretty good deal for the Titans, I would say. I mean, that's
considering you just signed him on a 1 year $10 million, right, in the offseason.
Yeah, that's
to flip him for a pick
to get that to be a fourth. I really like the Ravens' chances of getting the playoffs. I understand they started 1-5. I really like their chances, and two sacks. Yeah, I could. You know,
that's definitely doable for the Ravens.
I'd expect him to be able to pull that off.
So probably do that against the Browns in one game.
That is true. There are some bad offensive lines out there that he'll be seeing. So, yeah.
And the Bengals, for that matter.
That's right. So, so that works out to be a pretty good deal, but not a lot else. And then, so, you know, we've got Titans fans who are actually saying they're jealous of the Jets. I mean, the Jets, you know, the Jets are just completely cleaning house. Now, look, the thing about the Jets is the Jets have more, like, really good players to offer, right? The Jets have had some really good drafts. Titans have had bad drafts. That's a huge part of why they're bad. The Jets have had some really good drafts. It's why it's infuriating that they would be, you know, like when Aaron Rodgers, I remember a couple years ago, it's like, this is like one of the best defenses in the league. They're good at every level. And you got Aaron Rodgers and there should be, you know, there are high expectations.
Still have the top wide receiver.
And so now you are, you know, you're just taking that and you're just blowing it up again. So I understand if you're a Titan saying you see the Jets like, man, see, they're selling off their parts, getting all these picks. They did have more to give. I mean, Quinnen Williams and Jeff Simmons, that's the obvious comparison. And the obvious question of, okay, like, was this something the Titans could have done? And should they have done it if they could have done it with the Cowboys?
But they also, the Jets had a stretch there where they had some really high picks, you know, that the Titans haven't been able to afford in a stretch. I mean, what? They want Jamal Adams 6th overall, Sam Darnold 3rd overall, Quinnen Williams 3rd overall, Mekhi Becton 11th overall, Zach Wilson 2nd overall, Sauce Gardner 4th overall. Like, you know, the Titans haven't had a stretch like that maybe ever.
Right.
As far as being high picks like that. So, I guess if you're the Jets, at least you didn't whiff.
Well, you're perennially bad. Yeah, other than on Zach Wilson there.
True.
But yeah. No, that's the thing. They've drafted well. Now, they have, you know, new GM. So, you know, 1-7 right now. So, the Jets have 2 first-rounders this coming draft. They have 3 first-rounders in 2027.
Arch Manning to the Jets, huh?
So we're back to that? So we're back to Arch Manning?
We're back, baby. What do you mean? We never left.
Well, I mean, people way overestimate Arch Manning. Then, you know, it was he will never take a snap in the NFL. Now we're back to Arch.
Oh, we're back.
Okay. Yeah. It's funny because I'm reading Jeff Howe wrote this story for us, and he said, when Arch Manning's expected to be eligible, for whatever that's worth, he might be the 8th quarterback picked in the draft, but there you go. But still, 2 first rounders in the next draft, 3 in the one after that. So that sounds great. But also, are you going to keep hitting like they've been hitting? You just rattled off their hits. They've got a lot of hits.
Those aren't going to be top five picks.
And they're terrible
either.
And they're rebooting. I mean, you know, which again, part of that and a big part of it is figuring out quarterback. But also, like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers last year actually had pretty good numbers for them. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't know that I would. I don't know if I were a Titans fan that I would necessarily be looking wistfully at the Jets and wishing you were them. But, you know, I understand. The Titans didn't do a lot. There isn't a big return. I mean, the Simmons thing would have been interesting to see what the reaction would have been from the fans. I mean, I was really on the fence on that one. I do think first rounder would have been hard. I think what Dallas gave up, I think I would have done that deal. Karski sounds like he wouldn't have done that deal. We'll get his thoughts on that too. But David from Paris on the text line says, the fact this story – oh, he's talking about the Strunk story. So the fact that this story has gotten this much legs shows what a trash organization this is. Just too much crap coming from this franchise. Okay, look, again.
This is a low T alert.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I mean, it's just Mike Giardi. It was like, you know, one thing he threw out there. I mean, it's everything that happens. It's fair to say the Titans are a trash organization. It's fine. But I mean, they are kind of just sitting here, right? Well, they said, like, what? What are you guys talking about? What is happening? Like probably nothing happened at all here. And it's just like one thing because some people in the league might be speculating. And now it's like, yeah, this is why they're a trash organization. There are plenty of other reasons why they are a trash organization. Michael Spain on the YouTube chat says, the Titans are the Jets. Well, that may be. And they are in one hell of a battle to be the number one pick, which is important, by the way, on the next draft. We'll get more into that. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex are 102.5 The Game. Join the Chase and Big Joe show this Friday from noon to 3 at Reunion Township at 550 Old Legardo Road in Mount Juliet, a brand new luxury apartment community nestled perfectly between Mount Juliet and Lebanon, resort style living that you deserve. For more information, go to reuniontownship.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex show 102.5 The Game. Robbie under the weather today, Ian Safar helping me deal with microphone one and two computers. All right, let me ask you this. Okay, so here's one issue I'm having with this MacBook. Okay. Any of you out there have MacBooks, you can weigh in. So, like, if I leave it alone for, like, a minute, it goes to the screen where I have to enter the password.
We can change that.
Super long password. It's annoying.
We can change that setting.
Yeah?
Yeah, so where the power – it's just like we'll have to go to the settings – I don't know. Find it exactly. Power or privacy. I don't know. I'll have to go look. We'll have to look through. And you can change the time limit to when you want that to kick in.
Okay. So you can extend the time.
Yeah.
It's very annoying. I mean, I have to like, you know, I have to constantly like touch the thing, you know. Meanwhile, this one over here.
That's probably just your default setting since it's the first time you've opened it in the 5 years you've owned it.
Well, I've opened it before. Okay. I've started this and then I'm like, you know, I just don't like it. I like
I'll go back
better.
To the one that but doesn't have keys working.
Yeah, well, and that just recently happened, but it's finally forcing me to do it. But it's better. I mean, it's had to be done. This thing is so old, it needs to be sledgehammered. All right, Keith on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHigh.com, says, if the Titans and Jets finish with the same record, who gets the number one pick? So you have you do like tiebreakers like, you know, division, if you're in the same division, your conference. So there's conference tiebreakers. So I'm trying to think. Okay, let's say they both finish with one win. So the Jets.
Right now it's New Orleans 1-8, Tennessee 1-8, Jets 1-7. In that order, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. So I'm not even going to deal with New Orleans right now, although obviously they have a very strong chance here too. But if it's – so if the Titans and Jets, let's say they both go 1-16. The Jets beat a conference team. What the heck was the Titans win? The Titans win was
Arizona.
Over an NFC team. So mm-hmm. I believe because of that, I believe that the Titans would beat out the Jets for the number one pick because the Jets would have a better conference record, I believe. Now, someone on the YouTube chat said strength of schedule, but I think that comes in after the conference tiebreakers, if I'm not mistaken. That's how I've read it. We can ask Paul Karhusky this too. But so Jude on the YouTube chat says strength of schedule. That would be – we could get to that. And, of course, you know –
just a quick search here. It makes it sound like strength of schedule is the primary tiebreaker.
Okay, that's not what I'm reading. I'm reading the rules of the draft on NFL operations.
Well, I believe that.
NFL.com, tiebreaker procedures. You still go, you do the, you get past the conference and division. You go, obviously, head-to-head, if that matters, et cetera, et cetera. Then you get to strength of schedule. That is what I'm reading at NFL.com. So I'm also not always a great reader. So we'll see. Maybe Karski can shed some light on that. Nate, IT with Joe segment here. Yeah, exactly.
You do not want that.
No, we do not want that. It says just use a fingerprint scanner on the Mac. Yeah, well, I did the fingerprint thing. I remember when I first opened this thing, I did went through the whole process. So like, okay, put your finger there, right?
But yeah,
like
it never unlocks it.
But it doesn't.
Like the phone used to do.
Yeah, but it never. I guess I need to try it next time. Will it work
that
next time?
Not sure. Could try that. Could try the password. I don't know if that one has the face. I don't know if computers do the face thing like the phones do. But face recognition.
That'd be great. That would be really good. Instead of having to type in this like 17, character password that I have for this thing. So we'll figure out on the tiebreaker. But it is important one way or the other. And, you know, if Titans get that number one pick, you know, like I assume the Jets are probably going for their quarterback this year. Again, they have multiple first-round picks in the next two drafts. You just don't know at this point. How are these quarterbacks in this draft really going to be perceived? I mean, first of all, some of the guys who were supposed to be at the top of this draft have been highly disappointing, starting with Arch Manning, even though his family said that he probably wasn't going to, you know, even come out this year. But, like, he's been a huge disappointment. Garrett Nussmeier has not been as hoped. Lenora Sneller has not been as hoped. Meanwhile, Fernando Mendoza has come out of nowhere, and he may be, you know, the top pick. Ty Simpson has pretty much come out of nowhere from Alabama. He could be at the top. I'm still confident that when it comes down to it, there are going to be a lot of quarterbacks that people can make a case for as a first-round quarterback. But the bottom line is if you have the top pick, you know, if the Jets have the second pick. Now, you have the top pick, Jets have the second pick, Jets know you're not taking a quarterback, you know, you're going to take Reuben Bain out of Miami on the edge. Then, you know, the Jets can stand pat and they can just take their – if they're going to take a quarterback, they can take their quarterback at two. And so it doesn't really help you. Where it helps you is some other team loves a quarterback and wants to get ahead of the Jets. And so now you have that leverage. But that's, you know, like if you're a Titans fan, like root hard for really for any of these possible first-round quarterbacks to like finish strong. I mean, Fernando Mendoza, he's really good. Is he that good? Is he top pick overall good? Yeah, you know, there's a Big Ten championship game that I hope happens between Indiana and Ohio State. Here's a whole bunch of NFL guys on defense. Let's see. You know, I think right now he's probably the odds-on favorite, but that's not.
Do you
like
see pro traits with him?
Sure. Yeah, he's got size. He's got good arm. He's accurate. Also, Kurt Cignetti's offense is very quarterback friendly. He's done. I mean, he consistently gets high-level production out of quarterbacks, and a lot of them, most of them in his career, have not gone in the NFL.
Like a Heupel situation.
You know, like
almost.
Last year, Curtis Rourke was a good, you know, he got Curtis Rourke to the point of being on the radar of NFL people. But Mendoza has, like, he's got ability that's like, yeah, this is like a dude. This, you know, is he number one pick? People get excited. People drop everything to go get him level player. I don't know about that. And that's what the Titans need. You know, they need someone like that because it looked like we'd have multiple candidates for that. But right now, it, again, doesn't look like we're having a Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels top of the draft.
Yeah, no, there's no locked in number one. That's for sure.
Right.
You know, there's no even really locked in combo number top three at this point, I don't think.
Right.
Like it was in previous years.
Which isn't great.
It's going to be a quarterback. Which order do they go? It's not even really that right now. You know, they're talking about quarterback might not even go number one overall.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, if the Titans, let's say, got that pick, and they have to stick and pick, they're not going to take a quarterback. I mean, I hope we can all agree with that. Like, you know, you can feel whatever you want about Cam Ward. Like, the Titans are not drafting over Cam Ward in the next draft. Like, that's just not going to happen. So yeah, if it's a Titans taking a pick, and it's going to be Reuben Bain or somebody like that, yeah, probably, you know, the edge out of Miami. It could be somebody else, but it's not going to be a quarterback. But, again, that's what the Titans need, is they need someone to desperately want that quarterback, want to get above the Jets and give them a haul so they can move down. That would be best-case scenario for the Titans. And we will continue this discussion when we come back. Robbie and Rex Show, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, 1025 The Game. Joe Rex Show here. Robbie under the weather today. Ian Safar producing, and we have Paul Kaharsky in the studio in Robbie's chair.
Don't worry, I'm here to save things.
Thank you, because
Ian did well, but the Mac talk was a little
much.
Wife was telling you.
Yeah, well, Katie, you know, this is great support.
I'm here, Katie.
This is great support from home. Katie texted me, "Your show is bad. Stop talking about the Mac." Thank you, Katie.
I mean, it is a happy day that Joe has finally broken out this Mac, which is probably three generations old because it's been sitting in your drawer. What sparked? Just give us one last thing on the Mac, Katie. What prompted you to finally make this move?
Well, I've got increasing number of keys on this piece of crap that don't even work anymore.
You look like you don't really look like, but it's funny to say, you look like a broker. You got two computers.
Sure. Wheeling
one,
and dealing.
One that doesn't function and one that you don't know how to use. So you're day trading.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a little wheeling and dealing here, just like the Titans and the Patriots. So Let's get right to it, PK. God dang it. See, this thing just – I got to enter the password.
He has to keep touching it.
Wait.
I quoted him saying earlier. I have to keep touching it, you said.
I'm trying to use my finger thing. It's not doing anything. I did this.
Clearly, you're not fully operational on this yet, and you just have to deal with that, and people don't really want minute-to-minute update. And why did you do such a long password?
Yeah, you have to.
My password.
You have to.
What do you mean have to?
I mean it. My password. I think it said 14.
14.
Yeah, 14, man.
I think mine is also eight.
14. Yeah, 14 letters, numbers, and like a symbol. Like that was in, you know,
that's just a lot, man.
It's a New York Times computer. I don't know, man. I mean, but you know, I did the.
As he said, it's an athletic computer. As he said.
Huh?
I'd like to call you athletic and not New York Times.
Yeah, I mean, the New York Times owns us. I don't know what to tell you.
I know.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
Thank you. Okay, Paul.
Voice.
Yeah.
Let us begin.
Yeah, let's get into, let's start with this Patriots thing. What can you tell us? I know you can't tell us everything. All reporters report and talk to people and all that stuff, and so I understand you have limitations, but what can you tell the public, the Titans following public, about this Mike Giardi sort of implication that maybe the Titans are being petty, et cetera, with the whole, and they wouldn't deal with the Patriots?
Yeah, it's not true. From what I know, from people who do not lie, and really from multiple geographical places, it's just not true. And it would make no sense for the Titans to pass on a better offer out of spite. I mean, if you could do something good with the Patriots, that would hurt the Patriots.
Okay, let me stop you there. I agree. I would also say, I mean, a lot of people are going to say, yeah, well, tell me a lot of the stuff that's made sense that they've done in the last few years.
Well, you can say that, but each move gets judged on its own, right? So if they're making a trade of Draymond Jones, which is what I think this is clearly about, you know, you think if they had a better offer from the Patriots, they would have said, no, we'd rather take this lesser offer from the Ravens. It's just
okay.
A ridiculous proposition on its face.
You've already advanced the story.
I'm reporting that they did not turn down anything better from the Patriots.
Okay.
I know what the Patriots offered, and it was not anywhere close to what they got from the Ravens.
Well, you've already advanced the story. you know, from what we've been discussing. So you are saying this is basically centered on Draymond Jones, the Patriots wanting him, not getting him. The Ravens
I believe
got
that
him.
To be the case. I know that piece of it. Okay. I don't know if there were discussions about other guys or not.
Yeah.
Maybe there were. But I know there were conversations about Draymond Jones.
Okay. So if you're the Patriots, yeah, Draymond Jones, he's been playing really well lately, could help you. Instead, you're 7-2. Instead, you've got another AFC team who gets him. So,
who you might be competing with for playoffs.
Who you might be competing with.
They've got to make a charge.
You might play them in the playoffs. I think both those teams are going to be in the playoffs. Okay. So, that's the starting point. Okay, then I'm trying to figure out how I want to ask this then. Okay, so is there pettiness? We're talking about Amy Adams' drunk pettiness. I mean, when the whole divorce happened here, there was pettiness on both sides. Is there pettiness coming from the other way? Is there Vrabel pettiness?
I suspect so.
Interesting. So they just really can't. But they can't quit each other. They just can't quit each other.
I also don't think that New England set out to do this necessarily. I don't like to necessarily break down the reporting of a colleague that I respect.
But that is an important thing to put out there because, again, we got somebody like, you're covering for Vrabel or whatever, and it's like, I don't think anybody up there is pissed at Vrabel. But Mike Giardi is a guy he's been doing this for a long time. He's a sourced, respected NFL reporter. His phrasing, to me, is just so, like, vague and so... Right? It's like, people in the league might be talking about this. I mean, it's just like, okay.
Do people in the league care what the Patriots are or aren't getting in at the trade deadline when they're worried about their own trade deadline stuff? I don't know. If people in the league are talking about it, like, this is just like me and you unwinding reporting, which is the kind of thing we would do over a beer. If people in the league are talking about it, it's because somebody with New England is talking about it.
Right.
So I'm hearing from New England is this. And I think what I would guess, my somewhat educated but mostly speculative thoughts on this are somebody in New England said it maybe in jest initially. And then it gets translated from one part of the building to another part of the building. And the jest part kind of disappears. This is my guess.
Okay.
Then it gets taken seriously from a part of the building that knows the specifics to a part of the building that maybe doesn't know as much the nitty gritty. And then it gets mentioned to a reporter, and the reporter also is further removed from the tone of the thing. And then here we go.
Yeah, thank you for confusing everybody.
You know what I'm saying? You tell me, we work in the same place. You tell me something, but maybe there's a joking edge to it, and then it's a telephone game, and the joking edge to it disappears.
And so then the reporter, in conveying this also, and this happens, but, you know, it's like something locally, and then you throw it into league. You know, I mean, I've seen people who...
People cover stuff with league sources all the time.
I've seen people who have reported an actual news, like reported like an actual huge trade in the NBA, and, you know, got the source from the team they covered, but said, you know, league source says, because, you know, the source who gave you the information says you can't say, like, team source. You got to put league source. So this is probably... locally originating. Okay, so the bottom line is, because I understand any Titans fan who immediately is like, oh yeah, sounds like Amy, you don't think that Amy Adams Strunk is telling Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker, whoever, do whatever you want, I'm out of it, except the Patriots, don't deal with them. We're not helping them.
Look, there's a ton of stuff to be critical of Amy Adams Strunk for, and I wouldn't tell anybody to lay off. But pile on. But there's no need to add stuff that has nothing to it. And I'm certain that there's nothing to this.
But not nothing. What you're telling us is that if there's something, it might be a little bit more on the other side.
Yeah, nothing to this from the Titans side. Titans engaged with the Patriots a little bit, which you do, and went and found something better.
Well, that's the thing. That deal actually, I mean, to me, two sacks and making the playoffs, you get a fourth round pick.
It's a good deal. Now, the fourth round pick isn't a total round jump because they've got the Jets fifth and they'll get the Ravens fourth. So you're jumping from the very top of the fifth round to the middle, say, of the fourth round. But it's a jump.
Could end up low, but yeah. It's still a jump.
It's a jump.
All right, we come back. Somebody will have a rant. How about that? On Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You know, Vrabel, I used to enjoy the delicious taste of a Camel Light.
Joe liked that one. It was a layup, Joe.
Paul, go find a slogan.
I didn't expect to stand on a soapbox for Paul Kuharsky today.
Come on, Johnny. Here, jump on my back. Let's run to the end zone together.
Rex Road, you said we were going to lose, you jerk. Yeah.
No, he will absolutely take a dump on that field.
I would let them pee around the field.
Poople?
You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry.
Ah, another lovely mashup from Mr. Ian Savar as we bring you the Rex Rant. Brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out, functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Big fan here of Functional Medicine of Tennessee. And I guess Paul, who, by the way, well, we'll do this later. We'll do this later with you, Paul. But
sounded like you were going to praise me. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's a read I have. I'll read it later when you're actually officially here hour.
Yeah.
But now you can have the rant, but I think we should just look. We can get into whatever we want to. I have a quick thing. Okay. I haven't even read the story. I've read the headline, which is a huge sin, Paul.
This is what we love,
as you know,
people doing.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I don't think that reading the story will do anything. Like, it's not going to change the meaning of this freaking freak show, okay? And you need to tell me what the hell's wrong with this dude. Tom Brady cloned his dog? What's up with this dude? Like, seriously, what is wrong with Tom Brady? I have not read the story. I don't want details. I don't want the details of this story. He cloned his freaking dog.
I also read the headline. I did click in to see a picture of the dog. I don't know. If you're filthy rich and a little
eccentric,
I don't know that it's outside of the normal thinking for a person like that to want your dog. But I saw a great clip. It might have been Bill Burr. It might have been a lesser known comedian. And this was really good. This hit me because I've recently lost a pet. Finley died in the last 6 months after 17 really good years. And we have another dog, Ripley, who's, you know, taken over in charge of the house. And part of the reason we got Ripley was because we knew Finley was getting up there. But this comedian said, you know, people, one of the great things about pets is, and this is going to hurt a lot of people, they're incredibly replaceable. Oh, he was getting on Herb Street with this dog. He brings the dog along, and the dog is dying, and he's sad as could be. And 2 weeks later, he just has another dog. And he loves that dog just as much as he loved the dog before. Dogs are great, but when a dog dies, you can just get another dog, and you love the other dog just as much as you loved the dog before. And honestly, I have a ton of affection for the dog that I lost. But I also love the other dog. And I think there's something to be said about that. And Kirk Herbstreit, for all of this forcing his dog down our throat, he didn't have a lot of problems replacing the dog. Most people at least wait. He said, oh, I need 6 months or a year before I get my other dog. Herbstreit had another dog in no time.
So you view this like, you know, like a widow or a widower, and it's like you immediately get married again? You're equating those two things?
The people
you have to have a buffer time period?
People, you usually have some buffer time, and it's hard to get remarried or start dating again. It's a real process. With Herbstreit and his dog, there was no process.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get another dog.
Immediately in
love.
He
looks like the old dog. I'm bringing him on the road, forcing him down people's throats in the booth, not taking any consideration that somebody may be allergic or scared. I'm just bringing this dog everywhere.
Okay. And a lot of people, Herbstreit is, the Herbstreit public view of Herbstreit and the dog situation is definitely gone
from, but the cloning is weird.
It's definitely gone from, like, Oh, that's so awesome. Okay, we're sick
enough,
of this crap.
Enough.
But the cloning of the dog. I mean, first of all, I have to think of, I've read the book and watched the movie. The movie was terrible. You know, I think of Stephen King's Pet Cemetery, you know? It's like, you know, they keep burying these things in the pet cemetery, and they come back, and they're like, they're them, but they're not really. They're kind of like zombie versions of the original living things that they keep burying in the pet cemetery. Like, is the dog, like, does a dog have any recognition of you? Just because you cloned.
You both read the book and watched the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I used to, like.
You were all in on that.
Well, I read a lot of, like, Stephen King's books, like, in the 80s, you know. Like, I mean, I like his books. I mean, I guess I haven't read
but
one in a long
time. But then they felt compelled to see the movie.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how's this movie
most Stephen,
square up with the book?
Well, sure. I mean, most, like most Stephen King movies aren't great. They're bad, right?
Yeah.
But some of them are good. I mean, Shawshank Redemption is better than the written.
And the James Caan, Catherine Bates.
Yeah, Misery. There you go.
Misery,
sure, there's
good.
Some good ones. Yeah. This one sucked. But, like, you clone the dog. So, I understand that it probably looks the same and everything, but, like, the dog doesn't know you. It doesn't recognize you. You have to do all the same stuff, right?
I presume.
It's not like it's the dog. Did he think he was getting, like, the dog? Hey! Probably. Hey, buddy, you know me, right? No! I'm just DNA. What? I don't understand this.
You could get a similar dog, like most humans would do. Or you can
think of like the cost, and I know cost is no object to him, but like you can just get the same breed of dog.
Like, why would you spend that much money when there's so many dogs who need a home, given the situation?
That,
but then
also,
I did click the link. I didn't read the article, but it sounded like he used a company that he is an investor in, some type of genetic clone company that he is an investor in.
Is there any company that he's not some sort of like shadow partner in?
So I was like, okay.
He's a shadow partner in everything. Meanwhile, Peyton is a spokesman for everything. Between the two of them, there's no getting away.
So I was like, okay, so he's doing this as like a business venture thing. He's probably not having to pay too much out of pocket already because he's already an investor, and which makes me just think he's practicing this so he can clone himself when he dies. And there will be another Tom Brady clone somewhere.
That is that's a fair point.
I wish I could find the original story because we've all clicked on it or read the headline. It's an amazing click story that's got no readership. The view time, 2 seconds. But it's part of what you want.
I'm sorry. I'm reading Josh Kentucky, who says, note to self, never let Paul babysit my dog. Jude on the YouTube, you may be onto something, Ian, but Jude says this tells us Tom would clone Giselle if he could. So maybe that's the idea. Things didn't work out well, but if you can clone it out, maybe second chance, you know? There's a lot of ways this could go.
He co-owned this dog with Giselle, so it doesn't hurt him that it might remind him of his ex-wife.
Maybe he can clone both of them. Maybe
and this
that's
is
the
idea. same company or the same technology that was used to clone Dolly the sheep all the way back in 1996. We all remember that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, anyway, Tom Brady is a freaking weirdo, and I don't think we can say it enough. And I think we can all agree on that. And when we come back, we will get back into the Titans with Paul Kuharski on Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5 The Game.